Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK, your healthy digital radio addiction, where we have for you now another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. This week we're looking at Acts chapter 9 verses 1 to 22 and how exactly we've gone from being God's foe to God's friend. So from the English Standard Version our text reads, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' The Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength, and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ." If you were selecting someone to serve as a character witness for you, would you choose your most tireless opponent? If you were selecting someone to care for one of your most precious possessions, would you choose someone who had repeatedly gone out of his way to work against your interests? Clearly, choices like that defy human reason. Yet in today's reading from Acts, we find our Lord making just such a choice, as Christ selects Saul, the persecutor of Christians, to be his chosen apostle to carry the gospel of Christ to the nations. Of course, the Lord changes Saul's mind first, so that he is no longer God's opponent. The Lord turns his whole life around so that he does have God's best interests at heart. But still, why choose Saul in the first place, when it took such a feat to change him? Well, history has clearly told this story and how it was to God's advantage. Today, because of the service of Saul, now the Apostle Paul, one can rarely speak of a man through whom God has done greater things. So we're going to go through his story again, picking out details here and there that can give even someone like you or me hope for our lives when sometimes it seems we are still enemies of God because of our sin. So, again, in the earliest years of the Christian church, it would have been difficult to find a more dedicated opponent of Christ than Saul of Tarsus, from supporting the stoning of Stephen to rounding up and imprisoning Christians in Jerusalem, Saul did his best to destroy the Christian church, Acts 7 and 8. And when the Christians in Jerusalem had been imprisoned or scattered for safety, Saul took the necessary steps to further expand his reach against the church. Saul sought and received permission from the high priest to travel to Damascus in order to arrest the Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. This was what Saul was on his way to do before his life-changing encounter with the Lord. So, really, what we have here are two very different people set on making quite the impression and in great contrast to one another. But it's not long before we find out who makes the biggest impression, and Jesus achieves his aim as he chooses to encounter Saul, who is on the road to Damascus, dead set on squashing the Christian resistance. So Christ confronts him. Jesus himself stops Saul in his tracks. How? He blinds him so that he must stop, so that he must listen. Sometimes we're so busy, even when the truth is staring us in the face, it's hard to see it, and we need something to jolt our system a little bit, to have us sit up and pay attention. Evidently, the Lord felt this was necessary. He gives Saul the full package. Saul is given something terrifying, and in his blindness, panic must have set in. Shock and despair must have struck him. Doubt, fear, and of course, because he's wrong, utter shame. So again, because of the outcome, we must see this as one of the greatest forms of dramatic irony of all time, that this Saul becomes one of the few people on earth to see more clearly the truth of the Lord's gospel, that having set out in malice and been confronted with Jesus, Saul begins another journey where he will discover the Lord's mercy in a way that most people can only dream about, even in becoming an apostle. So, importantly, having got his attention, what is the first thing Christ reveals to Saul? He shows him his sin. The risen, glorified Jesus came to Saul in a flash of blinding light, and having brought Saul to his knees on the dirt of the Damascus road, Christ says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Verse 4. And in his blindness, Saul cries out in reply, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord answers, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And so the irony comes into play immediately, that although Saul's physical sight was gone, he began at last to see things clearly. In persecuting the church, the body of Christ, he had been persecuting Christ himself, and Christ, whom he persecuted, is himself the Lord. With that heart-rending knowledge, Saul was sent by the Lord Jesus into Damascus to continue in the direction to which he was going. Why? Because that is exactly where people were needed who were really going to make a difference. Saul already knew this before he set out, though perhaps not to its fullest extent. It would either be the place where Christians could be squashed out for good, or the place where they were most needed to be comforted in their loneliness and exile. So this is where the Lord tells Saul to go, to continue to Damascus, and the Lord arranges for him to meet with another disciple there. He, of course, needed much guidance still, so the Lord sends to him Ananias. And remember, he's still blind at this point, so he's still learning his lesson. The Lord leaves him in this state for 3 days of fasting and prayer, enough time to consider what he had done and to begin connecting the dots that the scriptures he had long known testified about Jesus. Then, as has been said, the Lord sent to Saul a faithful man named Ananias, perhaps even one of the Damascus Christian ringleaders Saul had been intending to arrest. It's dangerous for Saul, and it's dangerous for Ananias, but both trust in the Lord, and they come to meet. Ananias lays his hands on Saul and baptizes him into Christ Jesus. Through God's gift of healing, Saul's eyes are open to see, and through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, Saul is finally brought out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. For Saul had been Christ's enemy, but Christ graciously transformed him into a friend. But again, why? Because God's purpose was not simply to reveal Saul's sin to him, it was to, by God's grace in Christ, reconcile him to God. And no matter what his mission for Saul would be in the future, no matter the wondrous things Saul would continue to do in Jesus' name, the ultimate purpose God has for all men is that they be reconciled with the Heavenly Father through the Son. For just as Christ is the ambassador before God for Saul, he is your and my ambassador. And before anything can be done through us that can be called good, this must be established first. Just so, Through Ananias, the Lord reveals his plans for Saul as he says, "He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel," verse 15. Now that Saul had been brought into the light of Christ, he would serve as Christ's instrument to bring that light to the world, and not before. And the light is none other than the message of Christ and his cross, that by his blood he has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, Revelation 5:9. So from the day he rose, he set about broadcasting that good news to people from every background and in every land. And it's no different today. In his gracious wisdom, our Lord has chosen to send that message out to sinners, through sinners, even now. After all, who better than the forgiven to share the good news of forgiveness? Who better than a man like Saul, who could describe himself as the chief of sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15, to speak the comfort that Christ is the friend of sinners? So it is that from St. Paul, we know how to truly be humble, and essentially give glory to God and thank Him for all the good that we have possessed in this life. We might not have participated in the organized persecution of Christians as Saul did, but we are every bit as dependent on God's saving grace as Saul was. We each come into this life with a fallen, sinful nature that looks in toward itself rather than up to the Lord, a heart that by nature does not humble itself before the Lord or put His will above our own. As Paul once put it, we rather by nature have a mind that is hostile toward God and does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, Romans 8:7. In short, we are by nature enemies of God. We are His foes, not unlike the old evil foe. Yet just as Christ was not content to let Saul continue on his dead-end road, our Lord did not want to see any of us lost. So as He did for Saul, He comes to us. As He did for Saul, Christ comes to you and me, personally, to give us the new life that He purchased for each of us on the cross and previewed for us in His resurrection. By water and the Word, He shined His light into our hearts to scatter the darkness, and having paid your and my ransom on the cross, He came to you and me, again, personally, to unshackle our chains. And as Christ cared for Saul throughout the highs and lows of His mission work, Christ also continues coming to you and me in His Word and at His table, comforting us with His forgiveness, strengthening us in the same, by His grace, giving us His peace. He comes and calls you foe no longer, but friend, John 15:15. Though we have earned none of this grace and mercy, it is all ours, as God's free gift has already been bestowed in Christ. That is the kind of God we have. A God who astounds us with His amazingly gracious choices. A God who chose His most tireless opponent to carry out His name before the nations. A God who entrusted the treasure of His gospel to a man who had once tried to eradicate the gospel. A God who reaches out to people like Saul and like you and me, who have first lived as His enemies. And finally, a God who can turn His foes into His most trusted of friends. For all this, may the name of Jesus Christ be praised forevermore, for by His sake He alone is worthy. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann, and I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, where every Sunday we have a Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. Come join us. Come and hear about how you are no longer just a foe to Jesus, but a friend. And that means you're our friend too. You can come find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. As for next week in Faith That Functions, we'll be looking at Revelation 7, where St. John gets a vision in HD. So for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.